WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
Jane Hamilton's 1989 novel, The Book of Ruth, won the Penn Hemingway Foundation Award for Best First Novel. Her second novel, A Map of the World, has just been published. And critic Maureen Corrigan says it may well be the novel of the summer, as long as you don't want your summer reading to be restful and reassuring.
Lots of people are comparing Jane Hamilton's A Map of the World to disturbing novels like Sue Miller's The Good Mother and Jane Smiley's 1,000 Acres. Like those stories, A Map of the World chronicles the collapse of a woman's life because of one single slip-up. I second those comparisons to Miller and Smiley, but I think Hamilton's writing may be even more awesome. I'm using that word not the way the kids use it, but in its original meaning, referring to something that inspires wonder, respect, and dread. As I was reading A Map of the World, images from the Puritan sermons of Jonathan Edwards kept springing to mind, and thankfully that doesn't happen very often. In Edwards' most famous sermon, Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God, he declares, "God holds us over the pit of hell, much as one holds a spider over the fire." Hamilton's novel evokes that very same mood of existential panic. As the story opens, a pair of heavenly scissors have just snipped the thread, tethering our heroine, Alice Goodwin, to her normal life, and she begins the long free fall of the damned. Alice commits her fateful sin in the first chapter, so I'm not giving much away when I tell you what it is. One summer morning, Alice, who lives on a Midwestern dairy farm, is minding her own children and a friend's two daughters. They're all about to go for a swim in the nearby pond when Alice gets distracted for 5, maybe 10 minutes. Just long enough for her friend's two-year-old, named Lizzie, to toddle out the door into the pond and drown. Here's Alice's nightmare vision of Lizzie's last moments. She tried to grab hold of the water, pawing for the metal bar, a ladder rung, her mother, but there was nothing. She opened her mouth to cry, "Mama!" Her lungs filled with water and she sank. Maybe she saw the great white light and felt the intoxicating warmth of God, like some say happens before death. She sank. The trout in the pond swam along through the dark water. They noticed Lizzie out of the corner of their eyes. After the ordeal of the funeral, Alice descends into depression. Hamilton describes this faint gray sleep so precisely, she sometimes made me feel almost too drained to hold her novel in my hands. Then further disasters strike: a drought, plummeting crop prices, child abuse accusations, and finally imprisonment. Alice welcomes each successive catastrophe as a means toward paying her pound of flesh for Lizzie's death. I was pretty skeptical of the by now overused child abuse plot, but A Map of the World reminded me that all it takes to make a subject fresh again is exquisite writing. Hamilton here subverts our favorite national myth. She tells us that there are no second chances and that fate is largely out of our control. In fact, Hamilton's message echoes those gloomy gospels of predestination that Jonathan Edwards once preached. And I guarantee you, just like some modern-day spellbound pilgrim, you'll hang on Hamilton's every word.
Maureen Corrigan teaches at Georgetown University. She reviewed A Map of the World by Jane Hamilton.